And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Man, covering down on some major ground across the southeast U.S. of A. I'm talking about this show. Goes like from Huntsville back over to Chattanooga, from Tuscaloosa back over to Gadsden, all the way down to that pretty little town on the plains called Auburn. And yeah, even big old patches of Georgia and Mississippi thrown in just for good measure. All right, hey, listen, he is no stranger to this show. We've had him on multiple times. Glad to have him back right now. Again, the dean of the delegation in the Senate side is U.S. Senator Tommy Tuberville, and he's on the line as we speak. Senator Tuberville, how you doing?
You know, I'm doing pretty good, Phil. We got the libs on the run, and it's about time.
I don't think they even understand what audibles they could call at the line to make things, you know, to adjust to every single move the defense has made. Actually, we're on offense. Why am I saying defense? We're on offense right now.
You know what they could do, Phil, is they get on board and try to help save this country, because they put us in a tailspin. And, you know, they hate it. They hate that their power is gone. They're not stupid. They understand the only way they can get any control is to convince about 50, 60 million people, in which they've, somehow they've done in the last 4 years, that that they can do it, and they can do it the right way. But I'll tell you, President Trump has got his hands full. You and I have talked about that, but he is slowly working through it, and I don't know how he does it, because he's got two wars going. He's got inflation. He's trying to hire all of his coaching staff, and then he's got all these idiots in Europe that are just absolutely lost their minds. But end of the day, he's going to get us back going again.
Well, you know, I'll be honest with you, Coach. Right now, I'd say we're going a whole lot better than we were about 2 months ago. It's still amazing how much has happened in just 30 days.
It really is. And the good thing about it, President Trump, is he's a workaholic. He sleeps a couple hours a night. And he's putting good people around him. You know, his first time around, he was sold a bill of goods on a bunch of deep state people. He didn't really understand the landscape. Now he does, and he knows who to trust, not to trust, and he knows that the media is not going to be on his side whatsoever. So he's just like a bull in a china closet. He's just going forward, and anything he does is right, because everything has been just pretty much totally destroyed. So he's going to put it back piece by piece, and I'm looking forward to helping him put it back.
Well, you have been helping him, because Senate confirmations for his appointees are going pretty solid. I mean, it's really, he's getting his cabinet in place almost at record clip by comparison to previous administrations, including his own. And let me ask you about one of those. So Kash Patel is in there now as the director of the FBI. And then, oh, by the way, Dan Bongino, last night we get the word, is looking at being deputy director. And I'm just wondering, I mean, he's got a connection to Auburn. You know these guys. You think Dan Bongino is going to buy a house in Huntsville and move to Redstone Arsenal?
They might all move there. Cash told me last week that he was going to move up to 1,000 in the first month to Redstone. And so I think he's already sent out 500 letters and said, we'll meet you in Redstone Arsenal. Got a nice, pretty building down there we're going to move you into. He's just trying to get them out of this hellhole up here we call the swamp. And by doing that, he might be able to get something out of them, might be able to save some of them, because there's some good people in the FBI, but my God, there's a disease going on right now. It's called Deep State is just overtaking them. And you're right, Dan Bongino, he knows where the bodies are buried. He's written books about it, and he and Cash are going to come out swinging, and I'm looking forward to them being in Huntsville and improving, you know, the landscape there, and because we've got some beautiful new buildings there, as President Trump would call them, brand new ones that Senator Shelby got the money for, and we're glad to have them. And again, this won't be the first; it'll just be the first wave. It won't be the end of the FBI moving out of this swamp, and he's going to move a lot of them all across the country. But I think we'll get a majority of them.
Well, I think we will. And right now, I mean, even with the one split vote on Hegseth, I don't think we've had anybody that's not made it through. Now, I know Department of Labor has got some questions coming up, that appointee. But by and large, it sounds like the team that he appoints is going to be the team that he winds up working with.
Yeah, Yeah, I was really concerned early, especially as you said, Pete was the first one, and McConnell voted against him for some unknown reason, along with, of course, the Alaska and Maine, which that usually happens. But J.D. Vance come to the rescue. We got him through, and I think just him getting in, and then people seeing him and Rubio, Mike Walsh across the world speaking on behalf of the American people, I think it has given confidence to the other secretaries that, hey, President Trump might actually know what he's doing, and which we all know he does, and he's doing it for the right reasons. But we've got Linda McMahon at the end of the week.
That's right.
Education Secretary. She's got to get to going and moving education out of the city. And then we've got the young lady that's probably the most controversial of all of them, our labor secretary,
right,
who is a Republican from the West Coast that has a little bit of union blood in her. And I've talked, and I haven't decided yet. I really, really like the deputy labor secretary. So I think they'll be fine together. But again, she's got some people that are not real fond of some of the questions, how she's answering them. But we'll have to see. But at the end of the day, we've got 90% of them in as we speak.
Well, let me ask you, I got two other questions I want to get to before we have to go. And I know you've got a time hack you have to meet up there. But Senator, you guys passed the Senate reconciliation bill with a lot of the Trump agenda in it. The House was talking about doing the one big beautiful bill. The Senate is looking at doing perhaps two. Tell me about the bill that just passed, and if you don't mind, also talk about whether we're going to get the Trump tax cuts through the Senate as well.
Well, here's the deal. We don't do money. We don't do tax cuts in the Senate. So that one has to come from the House.
Gotcha.
And what we basically told them, we'll do one over here with border and defense and the things that we need to do. Y'all just work on your tax bill. And if you want to do the one beautiful bill, that's fine, if you can get it done. I think it's going to be hard to do that. But we got ours finished about 5 or 6 in the morning last Friday. Man, it was a long night. We went about 15 hours. But we finished it and we passed it. And so what will happen is the House has theirs. If they can somehow pass theirs, what we'll do is they'll conference it between the House leadership and the leadership in the Senate over here from just the Republicans, and they'll bring it together, and they'll take the best of both worlds, and then we'll pass it in the Senate on to President Trump. But we have to get the tax cuts done. It'll be the highest tax increase in the history of this country if we don't pass it by December 31st next year. So we have got to get this done, Phil. But we've done the border. I think it's about $350 billion. And that's a lot of different stuff. That's not just a border wall. That's a lot of things that go around it. We have got to put a stop on what's going on at the border, and they pretty much have.
Well, yeah, it's been a pleasure to watch. I mean, that and the economy were the top two issues consistently throughout the campaign, but I'll tell you one other thing that, you know, started off with a great deal of support and then began to lose the love, if you will, over time, is the war in Ukraine. And we're right now at the third year anniversary of what they said would only take 5 days. And we're hearing negotiations are underway. We're seeing movement. We got an announcement today from the White House that he believes a deal is close on getting a major deal with Ukraine about, you know, rare earth minerals and that kind of stuff. So where do you see this going, the war in Ukraine right now?
You know, I was in Zelensky's office 3 years ago and 2 months before this started, I think November 3 years ago, and he knew it. They were already fighting. They were fighting across the border, and Russia just do not want Ukraine to be in NATO. And all we had to do is say that, and there would be a couple million people still alive. But Biden let this thing play out. And Trump is—he's not just a deal maker now; he's a peacemaker, and he's going to get this done. Now, finally, we got a president of the United States that says, "Okay, we put $300 billion in this. We're going to get our money back. Taxpayers are going to get their money back." You know, we lost $6 trillion in Iraq and probably $3 or $4 trillion in Afghanistan, and so the American taxpayers are sick of this, of going in and accomplishing something and then not getting anything out of it. So President Trump's going to get this deal done. Europe will get a little bit out of it, but we'll get paid back by minerals They are just loaded with minerals in Ukraine. They have, obviously, they're a great farmland, but it's going to have to be built back with the minerals, and the American taxpayers are going to get their money back for what we put into it. Thank goodness, and thank God for President Trump. There's no telling how much Joe Biden and his clan stole, because this was all about Hunter Biden and the Biden administration of laundered money in Ukraine. And it is going to be an embarrassment probably to all of us at the end of the day when we finally figure out what happened over there with this. And instead of stopping this nonsense, we just kept flushing money in there. It goes in one door, out the other.
Well, and I suspect that someday soon somebody's going to show up with some pictures they kept in a drawer somewhere, and we're going to understand why this was what it was. But I can't help but think too, this rare earth deal, that's part of what Russia wanted. They wanted the resources, not just the buffer. They wanted the resources of Ukraine too. And we're about to say, nope, I'm sorry, that's a contract with the United States now, and you can't have it. They're not in NATO, but oh, by the way, they're under contract with us. And I think that's gamesmanship, in my opinion, on behalf of the United States. That was a great move by Secretary Rubio and President Trump.
Well, we just don't. Russia does not want American troops and missiles in Ukraine, and I'm all for that. There's no reason for us to do that. No reason, Phil. And we all should remember, Russia is the nuclear army of the world. They have more nuclear weapons than we do. And so that's not something to play around with. So let's make a deal. Let's do a treaty. Let's all get paid back. They're going to take a little bit more land. Let's let them build Ukraine back and get on with life and have you know, what is it, the DMZ, the South Korea and North Korea, you know, to have the DMZ zone over there. There needs to be a buffer zone, and let's go on with life. You know, they have lost 10 million people that left the country in Ukraine.
Yeah.
So bottom will come back. It's a beautiful place.
It actually is, yeah.
Too cold for me and you, I'll tell you that, being over there. But it's a beautiful place, but let's get this thing over with, and then we'll work on the Middle East and something hadn't been done in 2,000 years. We'll let the peacemaker President Trump get that one over with too.
Well, Coach, as you're heading out here, I know you're on Senate Armed Services, if I'm not mistaken, and we got part of the budget y'all passed also include a military plus up. I think right now we're seeing recruiting numbers come way up all of a sudden, and it feels like I wrote a piece that came out this morning called "The Warrior Factory is Finally Back in Business," and I feel like we're back in the place of putting the U.S. military, you know, where it should be. What do you think?
There's no doubt. Since President Trump's been elected, the improvement in recruiting has been tenfold. And kids want to fight. They don't want to fight. They want to protect our country. So at the end of the day, that's what's happening. And PTXS is a breath of fresh air, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
They'll get it all straightened out. It's going to take a while.
Well, it is, but you know what? You just, you know, eat the elephant one bite at a time, right? So, I know you got to go. I appreciate y'all making time for us today, but Senator Tommy Tuberville, we'll have you back on again sometime soon, all right?
Thank you, Phil. And one other thing I wanted to say is President Trump noticed our leadership in the military. He went in and fired every board member in the West Point.
Yes, he did.
And in Naval Academy and the Air Force Academy. There will be no more woke teaching our leaders of this country, and thank God, because it's we've had kids turn down appointments to the academies just because of how woke they've become. So thank goodness for President Trump and his foresight of knowing that it all starts with your leadership.
That's outstanding. Yeah, the woke washing of the services are over. So yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Coach.
All right, Phil. Thanks.
Thank you. All right, we're taking a break right now. He's always such a straight shooter when he comes on. He doesn't even caveat his words. He just goes for it, and I so appreciate that. And by the way, it's amazing to me how much, maybe not amazing, but it's gratifying to me to watch the fact that our U.S. delegation is making waves, our Senate and House members, and I love it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.